Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, Proper 26, Pentecost plus 24, Year B. In the Old Testament, Ruth refuses to leave Naomi's side. Jesus stands between God and humanity in Hebrews, and a scribe inserts himself into a discussion with Jesus in Mark. How can we butt in and help you with your preaching this week? Let's find out.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started. Before we get started today, we want to mention that we're going to be changing the format for the show a little bit when we make the turn into the new lectionary cycle at the end of November. So starting in Advent for Year C, that'll be our second time. We'll be starting our second time through the cycle. And so we felt like it was a good opportunity to make a little bit of a change. So what we're planning to do is to each week choose just a couple of the intelligences, either two or four. We're still working on that. And work the texts with just those intelligences for the week. And then we'll be going through all eight intelligences over the course of several weeks, but we'll be focusing just on a couple of them each week. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a little bit different, and we would love to hear your response to that, if you think that's going to be a good idea or not. We'll probably do it anyway, but but we'd like to hear from you to let us know if that's going to be something that'll work.
The reason we're doing that is that sometimes the texts are a little bare of particular intelligences, and other times they are a wealth of intelligences, pretty much like today.
Yeah.
The Ruth passage has rather a lot, and so we have many things to offer to you, but sometimes they're also a little bare, so only one or two intelligences makes an appearance. So we're planning on going in and forcing things to show up.
Yeah. We'll also spend a little bit of time each week talking about that
intelligence
and how
right.
it works and all that sort of thing. So a little bit of the smart of the week kind of idea.
Yeah. Every time.
Every time.
Right.
And first 3-year cycle will be as we've been doing it. Second will be more focused on
the
specific intelligences in turn. So,
okay. So having said that, that's what's coming up. So we're going to finish out the year with our first format. So we are looking at the Old Testament lesson for Ordinary 31, Year B, is Ruth. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. I thought this was the entire first chapter, but I went and looked, and they left off the last several verses where Naomi actually gets back to Bethlehem. Everybody's surprised it's her, and she's like, don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. I'm not pleasant right now. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. How was that? Is that pretty good?
Well, sounded pretty bitter.
And the reason she is bitter is she has lost her husband and her two sons and has returned home bereft. This is the part of the Book of Ruth, where we have that very famous poem that Ruth sings to Naomi, "Don't press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." So we're going to look just at this particular section of Ruth 1. We have a special effect for word smart, a special effect for eye smart, and an illustration for math smart, an illustration for body smart, and both illustrations and special effects for music and self. So, as I said before, there's an awful lot of stuff, so let's see if we can get to it in the time allotted. Go, dear.
Okay. Starting with word smart, there are a lot of names here in the passage: Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. So, it might be a good opportunity to explore some name meanings. And so we have a link for you to a resource that does just that, gives you the meanings of names. So be prepared to waste some hours there if you...
I have to stay away from that website. I just get lost in it. It's like, ooh, it's good. Oh, and then it comes from this name. Ooh, and it goes to that. And then, you know, hours pass, you know, clothes are wrinkling in the dryer. Dishes are piling up in the sink.
So what you might do is...
just go for those particular ones and leave it.
Go for those. Or think about some of the folks in your congregation.
Yeah,
and
that's
especially
always a good
if
one.
There's some interesting names, some different names. Mm-hmm. Check some of the names in your congregation and then roll over into the biblical names and their meanings.
Mm-hmm. For iSmart, if you have this is a special effect that would be really interesting. If you have a working relationship with the funeral director in your area, see if you can borrow 3 crematory urns. And as the scripture is read, place one urn prominently before the people as each of the men's death is recorded in the story. So Elimelech, boom, there's one. Then Mahlon and Chilion, boom, boom. And so you have a very visual reminder that the impetus, the driver of this story is death.
Yeah. Of course, be pastorally sensitive if you have some folks who are recently bereft themselves. Mm-hmm. You might want to warn them up front. Yeah. For math smart, kind of a stretch here, but work out the math for how long the daughters-in-law would have to wait to marry new sons of Naomi. So this is part of Naomi's argument with Ruth of mm-hmm. why she should turn back, is the culture would be that she would be supposed to marry her husband's brother.
Right, right. The
to
Levirate
continue
marriage.
The family line,
right,
and
right.
all that sort of thing. Right, the Levirate. So work it out here. So you'd need to consider courtship, marriage, gestation for babies, and that would be for Naomi
right.
to have
right.
a son that she could raise up. Then the age to maturity, which would be, what, 13?
13, 14, yeah.
Right. And then repeat.
Right, right, yeah.
So
one for each daughter-in-law, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Orpah saw the sense of that and went back, and Ruth was
not so
entirely insensible.
Right, yeah. There's also some people smart involved with that, of course, but yeah.
Right. For body smart, an illustration, describe the physical sensations of overwhelming grief and devastation, and it really does affect your body. There's numbness, sharp pains, dull aches, physical exhaustion, shallow breathing, shortness of breath, and sometimes just an overwhelming need to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
The physical ways our bodies deal with loss and devastation. There's an awful lot of stuff out there. You could probably go find websites that talk about the physical sensations if you want some more clinical descriptions,
right.
But you know, for body smart, that's just one way of getting into it. Just talk about how your body feels when you grieve.
Mm-hmm. For music smart, we're looking at a few laments. Now, lament is generally a song or poem that describes how miserable things are and
mm-hmm.
how you want it to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Psalms are loaded with laments, but we have a couple examples for you here. So we have a link to a lament written by a woman from a Christian point of view, so it wouldn't quite match up with Naomi or Ruth's understanding of things because it brings Jesus in. Mm-hmm. But it's a very touching song that she recorded. And so we've got a link to the video. And the words are in the description, so you could mm-hmm. just read the poem if you wanted to. Then we have another song. It's a piano meditation. So it's just a
an instrumental
piece, a solo piano piece. And it's based on Psalm 22. Mm. It's I think, like about 7 minutes long, maybe.
Hmm.
It might capture Naomi's bitterness and grief. And it also has some notes on the page that give a fuller description of the movements in the music. So take a look at those. Maybe play the one in the background while you're talking about the piano piece.
So that's a good idea. I've never actually done that. That would be cool. And then finally, for Self-Smart, we have both an illustration and a special effect. The illustration is that grief is one of the most challenging life events for the church to deal with, because everyone grieves differently, and many people in our culture are uncomfortable and untrained in helping people cope with loss. And this could be because we don't have enough rituals to help us, or maybe we don't have the emotional maturity to deal with something so intimate, or we don't have the faith to acknowledge death as part of life. It seems kind of like a defeat for our Easter proclamation. And there are a lot of reasons why we may be uncomfortable or ill-equipped to deal with grief as a church. But Ruth gives us a really good model. Although she herself is bereft, she clings in covenant loyalty to Naomi. Our approach tends to be a bit more hit and run. How you doing? Great. See ya.
Here's a casserole.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The laying on of food, which is not to diminish the importance of
that ministry.
But sometimes people deliver food and then they're out of there. You know, yeah. The folks who really can deal with grief are the ones that deliver food and then sit around and, you know, help you eat it or, so grief, really, it often longs for a companion, even when it doesn't want anybody near you. So church folk, we are armed with a resurrection faith. Maybe we can be that kind of a companion. So that's an illustration to talk about grief and how we have the capacity to deal with it differently than the culture. So for a special effect, ask these questions not only of yourself, but give them to your people to consider. Who has been a companion in your grief? Who have you accompanied? And is there someone you know who needs a grief companion now? And are you that person?
Okay, let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Ordinary 31, Year B, is Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 15. This continues the discussion of Jesus as high priest, but it also talks about how he becomes a better sacrifice than the priests of their day, mm-hmm. Whereas those priests offer the blood of goats and calves and bulls. The Messiah has offered his own blood, which is a greater purification than the blood of animals. And he then becomes the mediator of the new covenant to heal us of our transgressions from the first covenant. So that's a lot of things that a lot of us don't have any idea about what he's talking about. So let's see if we can make some sense with a few illustrations and special effects. So we've got a special effect in iSmart and then illustrations in math, music, and nature. So start us off with iSmart, would you, Molly, please?
Okie doke. Well, verses 12 through 14 is all about blood. And it's also a pretty graphic reminder as to how our worship experiences are vastly different from people who practice animal sacrifice. We are really skittish about that kind of thing. I mean, if you were to talk in your congregation about sacrificing animals, people would probably be horrified because their fur critters are their fur kids.
Right.
I mean, that would be an awful, awful experience. But it used to be done, and there is still, you know, for folks who consume meat, there is still animals being killed for consumption. So for verses 12 through 14, if you would like to try this, and this may be something that you want to do, I don't know, this is a suggestion. This is a suggestion.
It's a little out there.
It is. It's kind of, yeah, it's just about Halloween here in the United States, and fake blood is going to be very abundant and kind of cheap. If you want to get into a very graphic representation of what worship used to be like. So, take the fake blood and pour the fake blood. Make a spectacular spattering of it. Yeah. Visually, this is very a very attention grabbing special effect, and we look forward to your emails.
Pouring blood into the baptismal font. You know, you might have to explain that one.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know,
it's the sort of thing you do on your last Sunday in the church.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So if you would...
You could maybe, instead of using fake blood, you could use water with some red food coloring or something, which might not be quite as visceral.
Right. So verse 15, we do have an iSmart special effect for verse 15 about Jesus being the mediator of a new covenant. We have a couple of video links to some chemical reactions that would be a really interesting way of looking at how Jesus washes away our sins. And there's one particular video experiment of taking red cabbage leaves and testing the pH of the red cabbage leaves, you know, using different chemicals to change the acidity or is it basality?
baseness? I don't know.
I don't know what that word is either. I've just made something up new to demonstrate how those change to different chemicals. The idea there visually being that, you know, we've got this red blood and then you add the chemical and it all becomes clear. And that's how Jesus' blood has worked as a sacrifice for us so that we don't have to do these messy things anymore.
Right.
All right. Let's go on to the next thing.
Okay. So for MathSmart, here in this one, we're going to go with the logic side of MathSmart. And the argument that's being made here, I believe, is a form of a fortiori from Latin. And it's a lesser to greater argument.
Which is used a lot, particularly by Paul.
Yeah. So we've talked about this sort of thing before. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when, but yeah, with particularly
times.
With Paul. Yeah. So a greater to lesser seems to be generally more common, where you say, if it's true that this great thing happens, then a lesser case of that must also be true.
Right.
So what we're doing here is, if you get purified by the lesser, then how much more with a greater sacrifice? And so it's lesser to greater. And there's another term for that, which I have forgotten to include here, I see. But it's Latin for lesser to greater.
Right. For Music Smart, we have some suggestions for some hymns that use the word blood in them. There's power in the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a fountain filled with blood. Are you washed in the blood? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness and the precious blood of Jesus. And we've included a link to hymnary.org where you can do a word search for blood and find different hymns that have that.
Oh, come thou fount of every blessing would also.
Mm-hmm.
Include that.
It's not explicit about blood. These are.
Well, not in the title. Right. It has a line about blood, though. All about the blood today. Okay, so.
Well, tomorrow's Halloween.
Yeah. So finally, for Nature Smart, we have a link for a little bit of background on the ashes of a red heifer for purification. So a red heifer in particular was used for this sacrifice where the ashes would be mixed in with the blood that's described in the passage here. And so it's just a Wikipedia link actually here, but it talks about that process and how that all worked out.
And the reason why?
Yeah, I think.
All right.
So anyway, they'll just give you a little bit of background so that you know a little more about what the author is talking about.
Okay, let's go on. The gospel lesson for Year B, Ordinary 31, is from Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. This is a bit of a leap. We've completely gone over all of chapter 11 and a good chunk of chapter 12 to get here. So now we're in Jerusalem. Hey, there we are. We've been on the road for quite some time. And apparently there's been a bit of a conflict happening between Jesus and some folks prior to this particular passage. And a scribe hears them disputing among one another. And he's impressed with Jesus' answers. And so he goes over to him and says, "Hey, which commandment is the first of all?" And he responds with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We've heard this in the other Gospels. Obviously, this was something that Jesus said that really made a big impression. But here in Mark's Gospel, the scribe is like, "Yeah, that's right, that's right. Good for you, good for you. And this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So we're pulling in the Hebrew passage here a little bit. And Jesus is impressed with his answers and says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him any other question. So That's the end of all the controversies in Mark's gospel.
I wonder if that also includes the disciples who are always asking, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah. Well, that could be because, yeah, you know, here they finally get some very clear, specific answers to some of their questions. So maybe that does finally.
It would be nice if we would finally get that.
Yes.
That love your neighbor part.
Right.
Love
God. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, so we have four intelligences that we're going to look at with this passage. We have a special effect in Math Smart. We have illustration and special effect for Body Smart, a special effect for Music Smart, and both for People Smart. So, David, you get to do math again.
All right. So the scribe's job was to maintain the records, as it were, of God's instructions to the people and to teach them to the people. They weren't really interpreters so much, at least as I understand it. They were folks who...
Kind of like a court reporter?
Yeah. Yeah. Except that they would then go out and tell people, this is what it said. You know, so that the people would know what the laws were and the commandments and what they should be doing. So in Jesus' day, they would be keeping track of, I believe it's 613 laws and commandments in the Hebrew scriptures. So that's rather a lot, and that's probably why the scribe is asking this question. And
he's probably exhausted. Yeah. Can we just narrow it down?
Right. Yeah. And some people think that this is one of Jesus' great gifts was his simplification of the whole system.
Yeah.
And the idea of simplicity. Simplicity is very trendy these days. Anyway, what you could do here for the math part is to draw a Venn diagram. We love Venn diagrams. I love Venn diagrams. But with different subcategories of commandments here.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like the Ten Commandments, the sacrifices and worship stuff, the feasts and holidays, ritual purity, and then different relationships, family relations, the neighborly relations, the relations with other nations, and things like that. So that you have all these different subclasses.
So essentially go through the book of Leviticus?
Yeah. Or, you know, I just gave you a list, so there you go.
Did the work for us.
There you go.
Thank you, dear.
So each one of those would be a circle or oval or whatever that you would, and you'd be drawing this or presenting it, you know, if you want to do it by a slide or whatever. And so you'd have all these different, and you'd want to clump them so that the next part is easier, which is to gather together in a larger circle the ones that are, that fall under the category of love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mm-hmm. And those that fall into love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that in making those two statements, Jesus basically sums up the whole law.
Right, right, right.
And so we have
I'm looking at your Venn diagram
now. A Venn diagram mm-hmm. on the worksheet at morethanhearing.org. So if you download that, you'll be able to see my example. And then you can just reproduce that or something like it. So it's got a little bit of iSmart flavor because people will be looking at that. But MathSmart folks love charts and graphs. So,
that's
a way to do it.
For Body Smart, Jesus saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And we can get behind that. But how do we people love God with physical strength and their minds? So that's a question you might ask as an illustration. And for a special effect, invite your folks to get in touch physically with the parts listed for loving the Lord. Put your hand over your heart, put your hand on your head, wherever you think your soul might live, and on your muscles or your guts for strength. So shift your awareness to that particular part of your body and imagine it working for you, and then imagine it full of love for God. It's also a little bit of self-smart in that too, because you're asking people to focus intentionally and internally on their own bodies. We also have a video link to a line dance for verse 30 for the song Love the Lord. It's interesting. There's an awful lot of movement in this particular dance. So
lot of flannel.
Yes. Interestingly enough, yes, yes. So there's also a little bit of music smart in that as well. Speaking of music.
So yeah, that we have that song, Love the Lord, which does the first commandment. But the heart and soul part connected for me with the song Heart and Soul by Hoagie Carmichael.
I didn't know Hoagie Carmichael did that.
Yes,
one.
He did. No, yeah, it's actually there are actual words.
I know. It.
And so we have a link to the tune, and the link that we have is just it's like a MIDI or something. I know, but it gives you the tune. And this is a song that so many kids learn on the piano. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, so we can't do too much or we'll have to pay royalties, but there it is. And it's also the one that gets used in the movie Big
with the great big piano
on the floor.
Yeah.
So we have a link to that just for fun. But what you could do is write some words to fit the commandment to that tune, which I have done for you. So again, if you download the worksheet, you can have the benefit of my work on that. And it's heart and soul, love the Lord with all your heart and soul, and all your mind and strength, nothing.
Oh, is that how you did
it? It's more important than this,
than this.
Like yourself, love your neighbor just like yourself. These are the greatest commandments. Nothing is greater than this. There you go. is that it? Oh, no, we have one other song. There's one other link to a song on this verse, verse 30, and it's a video from the Scripture Lady doing a song to this. So you can have a look at that.
Okay. And for People Smart, finally, the last one, we used to live in Dayton, Ohio, and there was a small United Methodist church called Ginghamsburg, and they had a new pastor. It was Mike Slaughter. I think it was yeah. Mike Slaughter when he came to the church. He was a very energetic and very very forward-thinking guy, and he really, really changed the church. And he tried to get his congregation to take seriously that second part of the Great Commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And David remembers a story about him enacting this at Christmas time. He had members were encouraged to buy equivalent gifts for a needy family as they bought for their own family at Christmas time. So, for example, if they bought a new bike for their own kid, they'd buy one for somebody else. Jewelry for your own wife, jewelry for someone else's. A new sweater or a phone or a car for one of you, new sweater, phone, or car for someone else. And this shift transformed the way the congregation thought about and interacted with the community and the world. And so the congregation began to grow from 90 members when Mike got there to several thousand that expanded to four different campuses. It's probably as much an understanding of their role and their place as followers of Jesus and their generosity as it was anything else. But definitely the Spirit was at work in that place.
Absolutely.
For a special effect, we have mentioned Jill Duffield before, and if you do not subscribe to the Presbyterian Outlook, you can subscribe to her emails, which her Looking into the Lectionary column. We highly recommend that. She's got some good stuff. So we're looking at the column that she's written for this particular passage for this week, and she reads it that the scribe is grading Jesus' answer. So which one is the best one? He says to Jesus, and he's like, you know, tell me, and has an epiphany while he's hearing Jesus describe it. We generally always read that the scribe came to Jesus already knowing what the first one was and agreed with him, and to hear, have Jesus say, it's these two, the scribe is going, oh, yeah, and discovers that they have a core value in common here. So how would the conversation be different for different understandings of the dynamics? And are there other ways to read this particular passage, this conversation between Jesus and the scribe? Mm-hmm. So she's seeing the scribe as being somebody, as we were talking earlier, I'm thinking maybe the scribe is somebody who's just overwhelmed and maybe looking to get out from underneath some work here. Or, you know, sometimes when you have a lot of responsibilities and you say to somebody, well, what's the most important thing? Yeah, and they say, it's this. And you go, oh, yeah. And so, you know, maybe some of the weight of responsibility fell off of him and he felt, you know, uplifted refreshed in his work.
I've always read it sort of as almost an academic discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think is the chief commandment? And, to love the Lord your God. Yes, I think you're right that it's... you have said rightly. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so a couple of seminary professors having a conversation, each of them walking away being affirmed in their own position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And yes, you're not far from the kingdom. Huh. You know.
I can actually see that happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how refreshing would that be in our day and time?
Oh, people actually agree?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, especially in the midst of confrontation, as the previous passage has. Yeah,
I'm experiencing more connection with the idea of
Well, and that's why you would explore some of these different possibilities,
right?
You know?
So, right.
Yeah, and it's in People Smart for the interactions and,
right.
and drama.
Right, right, okay.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whip It Good production. Bowls, bowls. I have trouble with L's.
I know.